today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, flights will be cheaper this Christmas season for those who book in advance, like now. And it turns out some Carnival Cruise Line ships need to conquer more than just COVID to get passengers sailing again. Details on this most interesting story and others next in the news.
One of our goals on The Travel Guys is to make you a smarter traveler. Coming up at 3:20, Mark and I will discuss the news that Southwest is going to start selling middle seats in December. How will this impact our interest in getting on a plane once again?
The second half of our show today is most unique. We introduce you to Paulette Bruce and bring you a condensed version of one of Paulette's online cooking classes.
Many of you have registered to join the class live on Zoom. Mark is going to be with Paulette in her home to assist with the cooking, and I'll be holding down the fort right here on the radio side.
Thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us. Just for today, we are the Travel, Entertainment, and Cooking Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
To Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
Oh, I was born a heaven man.
I come from a land of love. I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66. Let it roll.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Hey there, everyone. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano again. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys every Sunday, 3 to 4 here on the radio. Thanks for joining us. You're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And, well, it's been a week since I saw you last, Mark, on the radio anyway. And I know a lot's going on. What's happening with Sports Leisure Vacations that you want to let people know about?
Well, we have put our catalog to bed. And for those of you who might be first-time listeners, Sports Leisure Vacations is a tour operator here in Sacramento, a company that that I own that's been in business for almost 41-plus years, and takes mostly mature travelers around the country. The sports part of it is a little bit of a misnomer. We do some baseball and some figure skating and some other stuff, but more of the leisure side. And once a year, we release a big catalog, and we have a big event in a hotel with generally 600 or 700 people, lasts all day long. This year, putting 600 or 700 people in a hotel is problematic at best. So we have decided to go with an outdoor event at our office over here off of the old Lincoln Highway, Folsom Boulevard, on the edge of Rancho Cordova. Folks will be able to come and get an advanced catalog and say hello. We've invited people to wear costumes. We have a thing called the Cash Cube, where every hour somebody's going to get in and try to grab as much money as they can. Mm-hmm. And they'll give us $10 to get their catalog a couple of days ahead of everybody else. And all of those fees will be donated to a couple of local charities, the Wreath Project down that puts the wreaths on the graves of this military cemetery down in Vacaville, and the Mustard Seed School, which is Loaves and Fishes School for the kids who don't have anywhere else to go to school because they don't have anywhere else to live. So those are two charities that we support. So some of our folks will come out, probably a couple hundred, I'm hoping, and pick up their catalog early. And weather's supposed to be nice. We'll have a good time. You should put on a costume and head over.
I think I will. It's not far away. I've always got a costume laying around. Mark, you're talking about a catalog that's going to have trips and such on it. That's got to be a bit of a challenge for a tour company. I'm guessing you had to. These are for trips for 2021. How difficult has it been in to put all that together the current situation?
When you're a tour company like we are, you, of course, don't plan trips a week or two ahead of time. There's no such thing as that kind of spontaneity. You've got to plan 6 months or a year, sometimes 2 years in advance for certain destinations. So we lost almost all of last season. We are going on with the thought that we will be able to take people places most, if not all, of the coming season, which pretty much gears up in the first part of March. So we'll just see. But we are putting out a catalog. Folks are signing up for trips. Everybody who travels wants to travel way more than they did at this time last year. So we'll see what happens. But next Saturday, we're going to have a big event here at Sports Leisure Vacations, and should be a lot of fun.
Outstanding. One of the things we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio show is bring you up to date on the travel news from the past week. And with it, here's Mark.
Thank you, Thomas. We mentioned in the headlines that Americans will afford a cheaper flights this holiday season if you buy your flights now. There are fewer planes flying, so you've got to get in early, because once those cheap seats are gone, they'll be gone. And with some airlines not using the middle seat, the capacities are less, fewer flights, it all adds up. So I bought my New Year's Eve ticket to St. Louis about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and paid about $300 round trip, which is
nice.
What I would expect to pay under normal circumstances. So I was very pleased with that. It's a nonstop flight. It means I don't have to go into any more airports than necessary. I can blow up my balloon and put it over my head and and head out. No, actually, airplanes themselves are very safe places because of those filters. And airports, I've got to believe that in most cases, airports would be absolutely scared to death to wake up in the morning and find out that there'd been an outbreak of COVID in their airport, or could be traced back to something that they didn't clean properly or something like that. So I have to believe that airports, I've been in Seattle and Portland and Sacramento a few times since this all started, and things are pretty spick and span.
Well, you got that, a lot of cleaning. And at the same time, you just got fewer people. So that in itself is going to make a difference. However, you still have to go through security. There's fewer people, working security. So there is going to be a little bit of a backup there. But I would imagine keeping your distance is not going to be quite as clustered together, I would think.
No, and people generally at the airport, I've seen, Tom, at least it's been a month and a half since I've been in one, but they seem to be a little bit more aware than people in the general public. It's hard for people to remember to socially distance when they're out with other people and you're walking by folks, you're standing in lines, you're walking into a store. You don't realize that, someone has come up and is standing beside you or something, because that's not something that we're generally attuned to be aware of all the time. So, but in airports, I find that people are more aware of their surroundings, at least now. And so I don't, of course, I've been there, and I've spent a lot of time in airports, but I've been there several times recently, and I have no discomfort at all about being in an airport or getting on an airplane. That doesn't mean I want to fly across the ocean, but in terms of short stuff. Plus, the other thing is, I sort of trust the airlines, particularly Southwest. It seems as though in my experience, they're enforcing the mask thing. You wear a mask, the planes have good filters, everybody wears a mask, you don't get sick. End of the story.
There you go.
Let's see here. Hawaii airfare sales are starting to come up. Portland, $99. We saw some $84 Alaska flights last week. Those haven't come up on Sacramento yet, but they've come up from Oakland and Portland and Seattle. Sacramento, it's just a matter of time. In fact, there may be some sales, an announced sales. So if you're looking for cheap flights, pull up the Alaska site and the Southwest site every once in a while if they've got alerts, where they'll send you an alert if the fare goes down or something like that. You can always subscribe to something like that. But there are going to be some good deals to get over to Hawaii. However, as Donnie reported with us on the air last week and continues to be reported this week, lots of people are showing up in Hawaii without fully understanding the system. You have to get a test. It has to be within 72 hours of your departure time, and you have to have the results. If you don't have the results and you get there, then you have to quarantine, period. And last week they had several thousand people in quarantine at one point. So
wow.
That's a little – I can't even imagine what that looks like. But what it tells me is that a lot of folks are maybe not understanding the rules, which is understandable because they change their minds about 100 times. But just a word to the wise, if you're going to Hawaii, do your homework. Make sure that you have your test within 72 hours of when you depart. You can get an on-the-spot test with an appointment in San Francisco, but I think they're about $200. So there are lots of ways. Depends on how much money you want to spend for one. Globus, speaking of tour companies that are getting back on the road, their first – Globus' first tour since COVID started in March departed from Calgary on Friday. It was a five-day Canadian Rockies trip, and it was restricted solely to Canadians. So a Canadian tour for Canadians. But they had 21 people and seemed to be very happy that they were getting back on the road again. I can certainly understand how that happens. Speaking of things reopening, the first adults-only resort on the Las Vegas Strip is reopening. The Cromwell in Las Vegas is scheduled to reopen as the first adults-only resort. It reopens on October the 29th at 10 a.m.
Interesting.
188-room boutique hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to cover all of the protocols for all of that kind of stuff. So
they have a Cromwell that's been there for some time. Is this a separate addition to the Cromwell Hotel, which was over by the Link, if I'm not mistaken? But either way, you say it's a little boutique hotel and adults only, meaning no kids, eh?
Within Caesars, perhaps.
It could be.
God, you stumped me.
Well, they are part of the Caesars company.
Ah, the Caesars group. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So 188 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Opens up next week. Don't take the kids.
Well, there you go.
A couple of quick headlines here before we wrap this up. New York hotels are really buckling under the weight of COVID rules and the debt that they have, and they're having a hard time reopening. Because, of course, New York got hit with this first, and they've had the toughest rules and policies and the like. A number of major hotels have closed. Some say they will never open again. 58% of New York's hotel inventory, 61,000 rooms, remain closed.
Wow. Yeah.
So that means that only about 4 in 10 hotel rooms in New York City that were available before COVID are still there. So, I mean, people will travel. There will be business in New York. It will come back. But it remains to be what remains to be seen is how far it will come back and when. Also, theme parks have sharply cut spending on new attractions and renovations. Disney is postponing all of their renovations on rides and guest services, along with Universal Orlando. Of course, we know the theme parks in California are madder than heck at the governor because he won't let them open up. Mm-hmm. And is going to make them jump through a bunch of hoops. And I just got to say, I mean, I know a lot of people work there. And it's so not to be concerned about those folks and their jobs and everything. But, man, a theme park, I mean, that just seems like it's just got trouble written all over it. I mean, it's like opening up the ballpark and saying 40,000 people just come on in. So good luck to them. And hopefully the theme parks and the governor will come to some kind of compromise before too long. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, again brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Coming up next, we're going to do our best to try to make you a smarter traveler. We're going to talk about the new Southwest decision to sell those middle seats and kind of an impact on your interest in flying is that going to be. We'll talk about it next here on the Travel Guys.
Come away with me.
We're back. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us here on kind of our last show for October. Mark, what you got? We're going to talk a little bit about that center seat in Southwest, and what else you got?
Well, we mentioned in the headlines about Carnival ships maybe having a little bit of a barrier to getting back in the water, and then, of course, the news guy forgot to mention the story. So, don't you hate it when they tease something and then forget to tell you about it? So here we are right back. This is kind of a problem for Carnival. They are hoping to get their ships back in the water in the United States sometime around the first of the year. Their Costa Cruise Line affiliate is starting out in Italy this month. But here's the deal. Carnival in the past has been guilty of some pretty serious violations, particularly regarding polluting waters. They've paid a $40 million fine and a $20 million fine, agreed to have more strict oversight, have been put on probation. And now the U.S. is saying an order from a U.S. district judge for the Southern District of Florida says that she wants the ships to notify her 60 days in advance of reentering U.S. waters because she wants to make sure that all of these things that they've been cited for in the past are taken care of. And some of these things are pretty major violations. In fact, the judge says she's aware of the company's investigation into, quote, a magic pipe allegation. Magic pipes are ship systems rigged to bypass pollution prevention equipment so that oil and other waste can be dumped directly into the ocean.
Man.
Yeah.
Magic pipe, huh?
Before the ships resume operations, the judge said she's most concerned about them having the right pollution prevention equipment, critical environmental spare parts, staffing, voyage planning software, and the vetting of waste vendors on shore, things the company has struggled to maintain in compliance with during the years that it's been on probation since it was caught breaking the rules in the first place.
Man, how
you know,
bold.
I thank goodness for this judge in Southern Florida. I mean, if these guys are a magic pipes, imagine that. We may have to get our cruise expert, Gwen Duncan, and ask her about the magic pipe system, if she's heard anything about about this, where they can just buy a cruise line, can just create a different plumbing system within the ship that they don't tell you about and dump literally crap into the ocean on a regular basis. Carnival's had this problem for a while, but it seems as though perhaps they haven't been paying attention. We will follow this. Miami Herald is where the story comes from. I'll get a hold of the reporter. Let's see if we can find out a little bit more about this. In the meantime, I would be a little cautionary. Carnival apparently has been not the best. If you're concerned about the environment, Carnival is not being the best environmental partner.
Yeah, that may not be where you'd want to invest your money or spend your money.
Here is, every year or so, Travelers United does an update on who do you think deserves the armrest. You know, the rule for many years has been whoever sits in the middle seat gets the armrest.
Right.
So every year or so, they ask this question. So here they've asked, who gets to deserve the armrest? Is the person in the middle seat get them? Of course, right now, a lot of airlines are not selling middle seats. Absolutely, yes, 48%. Sometimes yes and sometimes no, 26%. That's the answer you'd like to probably like to delve into. The size of the people in the seats determines it, 11%. That might be the best answer. No, they are up for grabs, 15%. First one there. What do you think, Mr. Romano?
Whoever
the guy in the middle seat gets the armrest?
Whoever tapes their arm to the armrest first will maintain possession from that point on. You know, I don't know, Mark. I've always felt that the back half of the armrest belongs to the people in on the window and on the aisle, and the front part of the armrest goes to the person in the center.
So do you bring, like, a ruler and a, you know, a magic Sharpie or something? You know?
I don't know. It's you know, courtesy, whatever seems to work. And it's true, oftentimes, if, you know, the larger person that sits in the middle, you know, they're going to need a little more space, and I'll be willing to give up the armrest to.
Exactly. Well, and that's why I thought the 11% that said, you know, the size of the person, of the people, determines it. And that is, to some extent, you've got three people. You know, the person who's the largest will probably not only need the most space, but probably will get it just by virtue of, you know, as you said, you know, nine-tenths of the law. All right. Wanted to ask you about Southwest Airlines. They got quite a bit of backlash last week. They announced that they are going to stop blocking the middle seats starting the 1st of December.
Right.
And cost them about $20 million to do that last month, and they think by December it'll cost them about $60 million a month, and they can't afford that. And they said, you know, at some point in time, you're going to have to fly with the middle seat occupied. Mr. Romano, you are being very careful about going places, and I know you love to fly and you love to travel. How would this impact you getting on a Southwest airplane?
Well, you know, they indicated they have a lot of reasons why it should be okay for the middle seat, the quality of the air in the cabin and all the precautions and the mask wearing. But let's face it, if you're sitting next to somebody that you don't know and they're in the middle seat, you know, you talk about less than 6 feet. You're talking about less than 3 feet, in some cases less than 2 feet. And if they turn to talk to you or whatever, you know, I'm concerned. But then again, I understand their predicament. And there are probably a lot of people that are far less cautious than I am. And they'll go ahead and buy these seats and travel. But right now, it's still not for me. And to be honest with you, I think that there's going to be enough backlash from Southwest flyers that this may not actually happen.
Mm-hmm. Here's something that could happen.
Okay.
They might do it in December and then say, you know what, there's been too much backlash, and we're going to back off because in January and February, the flights are not very occupied anyway. So that would make it easier. I understand their predicament. It can't go on. The middle seat is not going to stay empty forever. I'd be more comfortable if they followed Delta and Alaska and waited a couple more months. But I still believe that being on an airplane might be one of the safest places to be on the planet with this whole virus thing. Yeah. So, I mean, the science supports that. But as you have pointed out, in order to get on an airplane, you have to pass through an airport. And you have to use restrooms and get concessions and claim your bag. And there are a lot of places there where things can go wrong. So I think for now, you stay conservative, short flights, airlines that you know, simple things, and you try not to get too terribly complicated. I'm not going to go wandering around JFK at any time soon. I don't need all of those people.
Well, there you go. Well, short flights, sometimes are not optional if you've got family or friends or your destination is, you know, partway across the country. If all you do is fly back and forth from Sacramento to San Diego or to Las Vegas, then those are short flights.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. So anyway, well, thanks for your input there. Thanks for your honesty. It's kind of sounds like, you know, neither one of us is really 100% on this, but it is inevitable that planes are going to be fuller. Otherwise, there aren't going to be planes. All right. Coming up after the break here, we are going to have something really special here, a cooking class on the Travel Guys. Paulette Bruce is going to join us. Tom, you'll be in studio. I'll be with Paulette. And we're going to have some real fun the back half of the show. Some folks are going to be live on Zoom. Others of you can listen to it online. But the travel, not cooking.
Well, there you go. We're going to be cooking with Good Eats Cooking is class is Paulette's little dealio, and we'll be doing it on Zoom, a Zoom broadcast on the radio, a simulcast coming up after the news here on KFBK. Welcome everyone to the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Tom Romano and Mark Hoffman, and as we promised, we were going to do something completely different here on the Travel Guys. It's the Travel, Entertainment, and Cooking Guy, as we join up with Paulette Bruce, who does a Good Eats Cooking class, and we're going to cook. So if you're listening on the radio right now, what you're hearing is basically a simulcast. Those that have joined us on Zoom, you're part of a radio broadcast at the same time. Let's get started. I'm going to turn it over to Mark. He's going to introduce Paulette, and we're going to do some Good Eats cooking. Mark, take it away, please.
We are. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And so Paulette is here today. She's going to help us a little bit with our Thanksgiving meal and appetizer, a little side dish thing here in the next 20 minutes. Paulette has Good Eats cooking classes. We'll talk a little bit about those along the way. I'm just going to let you go for it, Paulette.
Thanks, Mark. And thanks for being here in my home kitchen. Welcome, everybody. I'm glad you're here. This is Good Eats cooking classes. And what we're doing, we have two recipes, as Mark said. One is the spinach and artichoke stuffed mushroom, which is just delicious because maybe for the holidays you're looking for a new appetizer. The other one is a side dish, which is a French butternut squash gratin. And that is really easy and really delicious. So I have two pans going here. Right here in this one, in my cast iron skillet, is going to be for the stuffed mushrooms. I have the stems of the mushrooms. Here's your mushrooms. These are cremini mushrooms. You can use these or you can use white button mushrooms. But all you have to do is just pop off the stem of the mushroom, cut the end of it off with a little paring knife, and then chop your stems up. That's what's in here with some garlic, and it's sizzling away in a little bit of butter. Now, the tops
and anything with garlic and butter, pretty much.
And can you smell it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
I love it. And then back here in my stainless steel skillet is one large yellow onion that's thinly sliced and some garlic cloves that are also thinly sliced. The cloves are not chopped, but if you forget and you chop them, it's okay. It's not going to make any difference. Now to the to this pan with the mushrooms in it. Mark, you want to put those in? This is the half a cup of chopped artichokes, and these are marinated artichokes. And Mark's putting those in. And then we're going to just stir this up. This is really, really tasty. And then back here to the onions, we're going to add 1 1/2 pound of butternut squash. Mm. Have you ever cooked with this?
I have never.
Oh, these are delicious. But they are a challenge for some people to cut and clean up. So here's a small butternut squash right here. And what you need to do with these is cut the top off and cut the bottom off. Then I cut right here. I call this the waistline because I think that's what it looks like. So after this is all cleaned and I cut it right here, all the seeds and the fiber are in this bottom part of this butternut squash. Well, when you get a butternut squash larger than this, when you get up to the 2 and 3 pounders, the easiest way to cut these things and clean them is to put them in a microwave oven for about a minute or 2 minutes. Let them get softened, and then they know who's boss, you. And then you take your big chef knife, cut it here, cut it right here at the end, and then cut it at the waistline. Then you just take a big spoon and scoop all that stuff out, and it'll just do whatever you want. And then you have to get a vegetable peeler and then peel it. And that's all you have to do.
Hey, you now, got a quick go question ahead. Over there.
Okay.
Now, I see your butternut squash. It looks like, did you peel the outside off of it as well?
I did with a vegetable peeler. After I cleaned it all up, and then I sliced it. So that's what you see right there. It's all sliced. And it's cooking with the onions and the garlic.
Got it.
Now, Mark, let's grab that spinach.
Okay.
And let's get this is 3 cups of spinach. That's
it's all going in here?
Yep, all right in there. And the spinach has been chopped. You want to get those tail ends off the spinach. And then we have a little bit of
a glob of something.
Cream cheese. Oh. That's the best glob in the house.
Just the end.
Oh. Yep, that's fine. That's fine. It'll all break up and you just want that to melt. And what we're going to do is just cook down the spinach a little bit. And you know, the best thing about this recipe is you might be familiar with the keto way of cooking and eating the diet. Well, this is a really popular keto food recipe, I should say.
Interesting. If you're just joining us, you are listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK. And we're doing something kind of fun today. We're having a cooking show because not everybody is traveling at many places. But when it comes time to travel, everybody eats when they travel. And so we're here with Paulette Bruce in her kitchen in Land Park. And I'm Mark Hoffman. Joining me also is Tom Romano. And we're cooking for you. What is it we're making here, Paulette?
We are making spinach and artichoke stuffed mushrooms. And right here, we're starting to make a French butternut squash gratin. As a side dish for maybe your Thanksgiving.
Okay. I'll tell you, it looks yummy.
Now, Mark, how about if somebody wants to ask a question? How are they going to do that?
Tom, did you have something you wanted to jump in with?
I wanted to say, you know, the choice of pans and so forth to cook this in, it looks to me like, for those watching on the radio, looks like, Paulette, you got yourself a wonderful cast iron skillet there.
Now, this is my favorite, Tom.
Yeah, I also noticed that you're cooking on a gas stove.
I am. Yep.
And gas stoves and cast iron skillets go pretty good together. If you got yourself one of those glass tops, they can be problematic and can scratch them. Any suggestions on how to successfully use a cast iron skillet on a glass top without damaging it?
Being very, very careful. I'm afraid that's all I can tell you.
Okay.
You know, those glass tops, cooktops, they really do require a special pan, I think. And I'm not so sure I'd be slinging around a cast iron skillet because these guys are heavy and they don't have a really nice smooth bottom on them, but they're not supposed to. So this is a little different. But I do love my cast iron and I love cooking in stainless steel. if you're going to cook in stainless steel, make sure you've got a really good slab. And that means that the thickness, the wall of the stainless steel pan is thick enough so nothing's going to burn.
Got it. Now, how long do you blend and cook the spinach and what was that, sour cream?
No, this
cream
is
cheese, rather. About how long do you go with that?
About 3 minutes. And then you just fold in some Parmigiano Reggiano cheese, about a quarter of a cup.
And that's no Romano.
Now, and there's salt and pepper. And then I have the whole pan. You're going to need about 15 of these little brown mushrooms, all clean. And I'm going to help Mark fill these. Well, I move on and we finish up the butternut squash.
For those that are watching on the radio, Mark has got himself a spoon. Gingerly and very delicately taking a spoonful of the spinach fixins there. And
you are so full of it.
Carefully placing them inside each one of the mushrooms.
And he hasn't spilled a drop.
And he, you know, and that, this looks like the fun part here. Actually, the fun part will come a little later on when you get to eat them. They look really yummy. Now,
oh, they're so good, Tom.
Tom, I'm just going to tell you this: if they taste half as good as they smell, they're going to be unbelievable because they really do. This really smells yummy,
doesn't it?
Yeah, you could, like people from down the street are lining up outside Paulette's house right now.
As Mark mentioned a while ago, he is. This is the travel and entertainment guys, and today the cooking guys too. As Mark pointed out, one of the things you do a lot when you travel is dine and eat, and you know, of course, nowadays these experiential types of travel, where maybe you could travel someplace and get together with a professional chef such as Paulette and learn how to make stuff. So this is kind of neat. And by the way, for those of you that are interested, Paulette's website, her program is called goodeatscookingclass.com. You can find out more about that. And those that have joined on Zoom, don't forget at the end of the program at 4 o'clock, Paulette will stay on with you and field questions for about a half an hour. So anyway, I'll tell you why, while you guys are still stuffing, why don't we take a tiny short break? We'll come back.
Why don't we? We're about to throw these. What are you going to do with these? You're going to put these in the oven?
Right now.
Oh, okay. We're going to put these in the oven, Tom. You take a break and come back and we'll go to work on the other stuff here.
All right. We are the travel, entertainment, and cooking guys today. We'll be back. Welcome, everyone. It is the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's Travel, Entertainment, and Cooking as we rejoin Mark Hoffman with Paulette Bruce in her kitchen. By golly, yeah. And when we left you last, Mark.
Yeah, we had just stuck the stuffed mushrooms in the oven, so they are cooking right now, and Paulette is about to embark on our second dish of the day here, Paulette.
Yes, thank you. This is the butternut squash gratin. Now, you have all probably seen a recipe for that says gratin, and you've probably wondered, what the heck does that mean? Well, all that means is whatever it is you're cooking, this vegetable or pasta or whatever, on the top of it has either breadcrumbs or cheese. It just means a topping in Italian. And it's roasted in the oven. So that's what we're doing today.
Is that what gratin means?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. And so it's going to go in this dish, a 10-inch dish that I've buttered. The onions and the garlic are sautéing with the butternut squash. So the next thing I'm going to do is add some cream. The next thing we're going to do is nutmeg. You know, and about nutmeg, that's a whole nutmeg. And this is my nutmeg grinder. If you folks can get a hold of one of these or a zester and actually zest one of these little nuts, it's going to be so much more flavorful than just taking it out of the jar.
Oh, wow.
Got it. Okay.
Nice.
Can you buy these like on the spice rack, or do you have to go like to a spice store?
Or you could go to Amazon and get one of these.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're perfect. In fact, I think, take that out again, because I think you need a new one in there. So we'll compare you.
Like that in a little grater, and I use it to grade on the very top of a Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, you know, that nutmeg grater, I'll do the same thing.
That grinder looks great. So Paulette is grinding it onto the top. There it goes. For those of you watching on the radio.
Yeah.
It is okay to try this at home, by the way.
Okay. Now we've got that in here. And then we're going to put our, we've got Comet cheese. This is a French cheese. Okay. It has a very nutty flavor to it, and it's a lot like Gruyere. So if you can't find Comet, just get some Gruyere and grind that up. You need about 3/4 cup for in here. Now, I just added a little bit of salt and pepper, and the next I'm going to add is the cream. And this is 1/2 cup of whipping cream. We've got that.
And well, that's just stirring it right in there.
Bring it right up. And then I have some
What's the green
chives.
Stuff?
These are chives.
Chives.
Those are fresh chives. And the easy way to cut chives, you buy them in the grocery store in those little herb boxes. And just to take a hold of them, and with your kitchen scissors, you just cut them right into a little bowl and then measure them. Okay, now see how that's getting a little thick?
How long have you been cooking, Paulette?
Since I was about 10 years old.
But I mean, you know, cooking.
No, teaching? 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, a long time.
So you have classes that folks can subscribe to.
Yes, a monthly subscription.
And so they can either log on and join you at a particular time, or they can, whenever they want to, they can go into the library and because they pay it and have access to it.
Good for you. Yes, that's perfect.
I did my homework a little bit.
Thank you. I like that. Okay, now I'm turning off the heat, and we're going to take all this ingredient right here and put it right in this big dish that's already been. Okay.
Anything special about that particular dish that you're going to put this meal into?
No, this is just a 10-inch baking dish.
Okay.
And I took a little bit of butter, about a tablespoon of butter, and with my hands just rubbed it in the dish.
Got it. Okay.
If you don't want to use your bare hands to do that, grab a little piece of wax paper and just roll that around inside here. Same thing with putting butter in a cake pan when you're making a cake. So whenever I have to pour...
Making you a smarter chef.
Yes, there you go.
There you
That's what I want to do, make people smarter cooks. That's my goal. So now I'm just putting this all in here, trying to get as much out of my pan as possible.
Tom, I just want to tell you the smell in this house right now. it would bring people who are not living back with a smile on their face. it smells amazing in here right now.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite dishes.
Garlic and butter.
It just looks like Thanksgiving. Then we're going to take the rest of our Comet cheese, just like this.
Just right spread the cheese all over the top?
Because that's what the gratin is. Now, I know your recipe says in breadcrumbs, but it doesn't say how much breadcrumbs. And I just put that in as like an alternative for you. If you want to use breadcrumbs, now's the time. You can just sprinkle some breadcrumbs and it'll give this dish a little crunchy, a little crunchy texture. Mm-hmm. And that's all that's going to do. Then we have some chives. Would you like to sprinkle those?
Oh, this is even for color, huh?
Here you go. Yeah, okay. For color.
I'm
just
helping.
With your fingers, just hold some out. And hold your hand up. There you go. So Mark's here, he's putting
It's a very difficult job, Tom, because it's important that the chives get distributed equally throughout the pan here.
And the way you do
that. Good luck with that, Mark.
Keep your hand up high.
Because as soon as you put it down like this, it's just going to make blotch hot. There you go.
I'm learning how to be a professional chef, and I'm sure those folks who are watching on Zoom can see
The
improvement that I've made here in just a matter of the last 20 minutes.
Well, all right. For those listening on the radio, the play-by-play was Mark reaching into the bowl, taking what were those again?
Chives.
And holding them high in the air so that they sprinkle evenly on top of the butternut squash concoction there.
What about it's sort of a premiere to a BAM site type of
there
thing?
There you go. You remember him. Okay.
it looks wonderful. And then does that have a specific name, Paulette, besides just butternut squash?
It's called French butternut squash gratin.
All
and
right.
And this recipe will serve 4 to 6. Actually, for me, it'll serve 2.
It's beautiful, Tom, because the chives and the butternut squash, of course, has got that kind of orangish kind of color to it, and the cheese and the chives, and so it's a very color. When it gets to your table, it's going to be a very colorful dish.
And it's so flavorful. Now, you have to remember enough salt and pepper in this dish, because squash, like a potato, sucks up the salt and pepper. Right. So you might think you're putting too much in it, but you're really not. You just need to get the salt and pepper in there.
Now, does that go into the oven too?
Yes, or- this is going into the oven, and our mushrooms are coming out.
Now, what about for folks who have, they didn't get on the Zoom today, they've been listening to this online and stuff, and maybe they would like the recipes. So we're going to have to be able, we're going to have to post the recipes.
We will.
I'll put a link. You sent them to me.
Yes.
So we'll post them at travelguysradio.com, but give me a day to post them because I didn't think of it until just now.
Oh.
Okay.
And do it tomorrow morning by 8. Please.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll get on that right away.
Okay.
So if you want the recipes, give us a day and then go to travelguysradio.com and we'll leave them up there for a couple of weeks. God, that just looks
amazing.
Doesn't
that look pretty?
Yeah, okay, it does.
So I'm putting that in here and actually, I made one ahead of time.
And the magic of radio vision.
Radio vision.
Radio vision. And Tom, she just put it in the oven, and it's amazing, but it's done already.
I know. That sounds, I think we were on Star Trek or something.
I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Pretty.
Wow.
So here's your finished dish. Now, this just doesn't have the chives on it yet, but we were going to put some on. So this is what it looks like. And to serve this, I would just cut this. Let me get a plate down here so you can all see how pretty this looks. And it's not, this is not like digging into a pan of mac and cheese where it's real thick, mm-hmm. or like a baked pasta dish. This is very thin. So it's I consider this to be a very light gratin. Not something that's real heavy.
Hey, team, by the way, we've got about just under 2 minutes so that you'll
know. Okay. All right. So here you go. There's your gratin.
That's beautiful.
Right there. And if you would like to just leave it like that.
Mark has got a fork.
Now I'll show you the mushrooms.
Here comes the mushrooms.
Not polite to
I'm on my way.
The audience, but, you know, after the show is over, why they're sitting, you know, telling what could happen.
Now, there's your mushrooms, and you can put those.
Let's remind the folks, those of you that are on the Zoom and watching this on the simulcast, if you want to stay on at the conclusion of the program in a couple of moments, Pauline will answer any questions that you might have if you would like to stay. And if you are listening on the radio, we're talking with Paulette Bruce. We've been having a cooking class for the last half hour. Paulette has prepared a lovely appetizer and a side dish here. We will put those menus up at travelguysradio.com. For you tomorrow. And Paulette also has cooking classes.
30 seconds.
Okay.
And so you can find out about those at travelguysradio.com. Beautiful mushrooms.
So here's your mushroom presentation for your appetizer table for Thanksgiving or any day of the week, actually. I just think it's wonderful. And these are so flavorful. Don't forget these recipes. You're going to like them.
Paulette,
wonderful, you guys.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll do this again. Tom, dance like nobody's watching.
All right, yeah. My friends, stay well. Like I say, stay on if you're on the Zoom. Otherwise, we'll see you next week at 3 on
Thanks,
the Travel
Mom.
Guys.
Thanks, everybody.